Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving
is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime. Hmm. I like how you're all thinking you're very good detectives. That's what they say in the real police force as well.
In defence of lighting your farts on fire, my brother did it at Christmas and it genuinely just brought the whole family together.
I'm trying to be more decisive in 2020.
So. Yeah, it sounds like a steampunk fuck for sure.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
We are joined this week by the fantastic comedian and writer Monica Heisey.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. Can you tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes. Well, technically, yes.
Ooh.
There were almost no consequences, so it doesn't really feel that dramatic. But basically, almost every time I go down to America, and I've spent some time there on and off for the past couple of years for work, and almost every time I go down there, my bank information gets compromised. I don't know if
really?
I'm going to like bad corner
Banks.
Stores
oh,
or dodgy ATMs or what.
Wow.
But the last time it happened, someone stole my banking information, and for some reason, I think it was like a Canadian long weekend, but it wasn't a holiday in America, so the bank didn't pick up on it for a little while.
Oh.
And these guys had a really big weekend, or girls.
Wow.
They spent
well,
like,
we'll be the judge of that.
They spent like $1,500
wow.
on gas, a car rental, fried chicken, and then a lot of money was spent at a gay strip club.
Wow.
Are you sure this wasn't you and you blacked out?
Well, this
out?
Is the thing. I was like, why wasn't I invited? Like, no wonder my bank was like, maybe.
It didn't get flagged.
This checks out.
Yeah.
Wow, what a combo. Mm-hmm. The fried chicken kind of makes it. Like, I like that chicken was in there. And a whole lot of gas.
We've got why so much gas? Far
they rented
gay
a car.
Club.
Yeah. They're just on a joyride, eating some chicken, getting revved up for the strippers.
You can't go to a strip club on an empty stomach, though, right? You've got to, like, prepare yourself for that stuff.
Well, you don't want to eat there.
Yeah, if you get hungry, you got to eat the strip club food, and that's not something anyone wants.
Okay. Someone was trying to claim that, like, saying you like the food at a strip club is the new "I only read the articles" kind of, like, that actually the food's really good now or something.
That would be amazing.
I believe it could be. That could be a selling point. There's, that's your USP.
But I think there's almost no way it is, because you don't need another selling point for a strip club.
It's just not enough anymore.
Maybe you need, like, an excuse, though. Like, I just love the gnocchi there. It's incredible. Yeah. Like,
it's very fresh.
So I'm sorry that whenever you come to my country, you get fucked over.
I know. It's because you guys don't have chip and pin, I guess. Right?
That's what the drama. What is that about?
What, you don't have chip and pin? I'm confused about that.
No, the person who's doing the transaction just, like, looks the back of your card and looks at your fucking signature.
It's, oh, wow.
Whoa.
It's like the olden days.
I know, and we tell ourselves, like, we're the most advanced country. I told my friend about contactless, and they're like, what now? I was like, we just tap our cards, and they're like, what?
Have you ever paid with your phone in front of an American?
I haven't yet.
It's some Harry Potter shit to them. They don't know. I also feel like America has this thing where, like, every story about America just demonstrates that things are not going amazingly there. They'll tell any story like, oh yeah, all the subways are closed in New York right now because someone shit on the main control booth. USA number one, though. USA number one forever. And you're like, what?
Yeah. No. When the rebuttal to, like, most of the gun deaths are suicides. Right.
Wow. Number one.
But have you gotten, you get all the money back?
You got it back.
I got it all back. Like, all back. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the story started with no jeopardy because you said it was consequence free.
It was in, like, Tennessee or something. So, like, I was in California and the people spending the money were in, like, Tennessee or Texas, one of the T's.
Oh, that is definitely the best night of their lives.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was like, good for you.
I'm impressed they have a gay strip club in Tennessee.
Oh, sure. Stuff happens in Memphis and Nashville and probably not Chattanooga. Yeah. I could keep naming places.
I do like it, though, when you get your, like, details, like, stolen and you get to see what they've bought, because you do, you create this little story and it's kind of, like, quite exciting. Yeah. And you always had a proper kind of, like, a journey. Whereas, like, mine was stolen once and I had, they just ordered a Deliveroo from KFC. That was it.
I also feel like it's kind of a victimless crime. Like, the bank gives the money back. Mm, some people get to have, like, a little bit of a treat. There's so much inequality in the world. Someone wants to take my bank details for 24 hours and then I get all of my money back from a huge corporation. I feel like everyone wins.
Actually,
in a way.
It's almost karmic. I was going to ask what you would say to them now, but it sounds like you've forgiven.
We had a nice time. Like,
yeah.
All right, cool.
Wow. No harm, no foul.
A crime. Really cool, actually.
That's awesome. And it's so.
Yay, it's so cool. Guys.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Now, I'm going to tell us all about the case that we're going to talk about, because that's what we do. Okay, so this case involves mystery, multiple attacks,
okay,
a fun nickname, and possibly a demon.
Okay.
Hold on to your hats. Oh, go on, what?
No, I like when the supernatural is thrown in. I'm excited about the demon.
Then this is for you.
Yay.
I'm excited about the attacks.
My interest isn't piqued by nickname.
There is something for everyone.
Yeah, for everyone.
This is great.
Multiple demon attacks. Demo.
Okay. So the first incident happened to Mary Stevens, who was a servant girl. She was walking through Clapham Common alone late at night. She claims that a man jumped out from a dark alley, grabbed her with a tight grip, kissed her, and ripped off her clothes. She managed to escape and get help, and some of her rescuers tried to look for the attacker. Question, could they find the attacker?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it would be a very short case.
If we ended up with Ghost, probably not.
Okay.
Right?
If it was a demon.
This immediately feels like no one believes them and they blame it on a demon.
Well, hold that thought.
Okay.
But good instincts, detectives. And you are all through to the next round. So they couldn't find anyone. So question, what year is this?
Servant girl, you said. So I'm thinking 1993.
Mary Stevens is like a very like Jack the Ripper-y kind of time name.
Yeah.
be 18? Super useful if I knew when Jack the Ripper was doing that.
I'm going
to
say
1893. Okay. Anyone, any other guesses?
Well, when did it become really dangerous to walk across Clapham Common alone? Which is probably just after this happened. Yeah. So I think it happened just before this happened.
Didn't it kind of only just become safe?
Yes, right. Is this 2020?
It's safe now, right?
Yeah.
We're all safe.
But like most places in London were really dangerous until like you got streetlights, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Streetlights.
Pushing up invisible glasses on my nose.
That's good.
Yeah, like 1870.
Okay, 1890.
1893. I'm going to go just after Titanic, which is always the one I go for. So probably about 1912.
In which case...
That was Titanic.
Monica is the closest because the year is 1837.
Hello.
Yay.
We are in Victorian England.
Okay. Which is about Jack the Ripper time,
that
right?
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 40 years off, so not amazing, but we got there.
The day after the incident with Mary Stevens, the man described was seen near her house. He jumped in the way of a carriage passing by and the driver careened off the road, severely hurting himself. So the guy then escaped again. Question... How did he escape this time? And I invite you to think outside the box.
Ooh. So the implication is that he's come after her again?
Possibly.
And we don't... He jumped in front of the carriage on purpose? I don't understand. Kitty, what the fuck?
I'm hating this guy's vibe.
Don't want to spend more time
so
with him.
Maybe he was spotted. Maybe Mary spotted him.
Yeah.
And that's why she was like, he was like, I'm going to probably just run away from this.
Yeah.
And also in 18, when was it? 1870 or something?
1837.
That's it. In 1837, like you don't expect to jump into a road and be hit by a thing because things don't, you know, do you know what I mean? Like you have a horse and carriage maybe, but there's not as much traffic those days.
Sorry, side note. When are the years of Victorian England? I always get...
So she died. She died in 1901.
Okay.
I think she's the longest reigning monarch.
It was that Elizabeth II now, yeah. Now she's the oldest she's overtaken in the world.
But it
so
was
like
60
that
years.
Early?
60, yeah. So was she got in. She got in. Oh, so it must be 18.
In the first Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, this starts pre her.
And okay. What is that? Is that Georgian or is it... Who was her father? Was it George? This is what this podcast this is like, now.
This is like Jane Austen era is just over, yep. Right?
Yeah.
And that was the Edwardian?
Edwardian, maybe?
Hey.
Edwardian's after King Edward, right? That's way later.
That's
so it was Georgian for sure. Yeah.
We think so. They had some good furniture. That's all I know.
Guys, you're supposed to be... Man.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay, why
did he do the thing where you have... a pocket in your hand of dust and you throw it on the ground and smoke comes up and he runs away.
Do you know what? That is a great guess. Any advances on that?
I want like it to be that.
This is a good ballpark to be in.
Oh, so he did something like, because he gets a nickname in a bit, doesn't he? And he pretends to be a demon.
Dodgy McDodge Dodge.
I'm going to go one more that he does that, but there's fire involved.
So you're like copying her and adding fire.
He just draws a little mustache on his index finger and holds it. Holds
it. You want to guess?
Okay. No, I'm good.
So he escaped.
I just said Dodge McDodge Dodge. I've had a lot to drink and I don't elicit anything.
I'm
going to
invite everyone to guess the nickname in a minute.
Okay. Well, I think I've said my piece.
He escapes by jumping over a 9-foot wall.
Ooh. Parkour.
Yes. The original.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Georgian parkour. That's all we want.
And they
were
so much shorter back then. Like, let's take a moment to appreciate that.
Whenever you go into like an olden timey house, you smash your head if you're more than like 5 foot
two. I just saw a fashion exhibit at the V&A and I just marveled at how small everything was. Like, it looked like children's clothing.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Wow, nice.
Okay. So,
go on.
Could have put a corset on my thigh.
From this point on, this perp is sometimes referred to as the creature, and also he gets the fun nickname. Now, obviously, we only know two things about him at the moment. He's kind of rapey, and he can jump high.
Mm-hmm.
So, question, what do you think his nickname was?
The creature is not the nickname?
No.
Right.
Okay.
Is it better than the creature?
Is it? Oh, I think it's the grasshopper.
That's good.
Yeah.
Bouncy scoundrel.
I love it. It's like, he's a rapist, the scoundrel.
That's what they called him back then.
Yeah, right, totally. Right. That's what they called the Prime Minister still.
Scoundrel. Leaping ladies man.
Very good.
Thanks.
None of you are exactly correct.
Okay. But I like your energy. Okay. I just like that they would have admired him, like, oh, he really goes for it.
Well, so his nickname was Spring-Heeled Jack.
Whoa. Oh, it's as bad as all of our little jokey ones. Great. Yeah,
so they called all bad guys Jack back then? That's what I'm sort of getting at.
Actually, yeah. That name really took a beating in the old days. They had nothing about non-consensual coercive control in the nickname. I had a go at coming up with some better ones as well. And my best one that I found out of my list was Leaping Lech. Similar.
Oh, really good.
I also, my honourable mentions, because I spent about 5 minutes on this.
You gave your own honourable mention.
My own imagination. But this is not how I was going to phrase any of this.
I like it.
Making myself sound like it's a dick. Good. I had Vaulting Venereal Villain.
Wow.
Prancing Pervert.
BVV.
Harassment Harry. Frolicking Frat Boy. That's my alliteration section.
I think these were all garbage pail kids as well.
They could be. Then I had Grabby McJumps a Lot, Sexual Assault Man, Hostile Jumping Environment, because they can't all be gold. Okay.
So I love how creative this podcast lets us be.
So, for possibly the first time ever, they're not the Victorians at this point, are they? But they kept it light and they just focused on the fun jumping nature of the crime.
Right.
Which we've all already observed with is what they're doing. So
I mean, we're all attacking women, but this guy, he can bounce.
Take it to a whole new level. Literally. Right. It's 1837. Mary Stevens is the first victim/sighting of Spring-Heeled Jack, patient zero. Mm. He gets cited a lot after this and the legend grows.
Wow.
But, okay, actually, I'll give you this. According to said legends, Spring-Heeled Jack's physiognomy.
Mm-hmm.
Physiognomy.
Okay. I love the fact that I've just seen that Kate's put that in bold as if to say, don't know how to say that.
You just bolded it. That's great.
Never said that.
I didn't know which was the right word to describe. Anyway, right.
His body.
Too much detail. Yes. His skills include, but are not limited to, metal claws, metallic clawed hands, which are cold and clammy as a corpse. Red eyes, can produce blue and white smoke, can jump high, superhuman leaps over houses, walls, buildings.
This is how other people are given,
this is how he
witness
gets
testimony.
Yes.
We've seen.
Yeah, so this
cold
is
cold claw
as we
hands.
As we rack up the incidences, this is how he gets, this is on his file, basically.
Yeah.
He wears a helmet and a tight fitting white outfit under a black cloak. He has a high pitched ringing laugh. He can speak English. He is tall and thin.
Okay. Is this his Tinder profile? Because has anyone else turned on? Because this is incredible.
Tall and thin, because that matters on here.
I look after myself.
So I'm not going to do every individual sighting. So I'm going to whiz forward. On February the 19th, 1838, Jane Alsop was attacked.
That's almost Austin.
Yeah. Alsop answered the door to a man claiming to be a police officer. He said that they'd caught Spring-Heeled Jack and he needed a candle.
Oh no.
So he asked her for the candle, and then when she retrieved one for him, he did something a bit weird. Question, what did he do?
Mm.
And you've got clues in the weird list.
Oh, so he was wearing a weird hat, wasn't he? And he did. He had the red eyes.
Swish his cape around.
Yeah. He threw off his cloak to reveal a hideous form with clothing that resembled white oilskin. Then blue and white flames came from his mouth, while his eyes resembled, in quotes, red balls of fire. That was how she then described it. Then he tore off her clothes with his claws.
Alsop has done some substances.
This is really tricky, though, because I'm like, believing women is super important.
Well, yeah, there's that. But like women on opium, do we believe them as much?
Yeah. And then he tore off the clothes, which she claimed were made of a metallic substance, his claws. So Jane Alsop ran for safety. He managed to tear at her neck and arms, but she was eventually saved by her sister, and the creature ran away before being caught. 9 days later, after this, on February the 28th, 1838, 18-year-old Lucy Scales was walking through Green Dragon Alley with her sister when she saw a person standing in the passageway carrying a bullseye lantern that looked similar to one the police used. Question, what happened next?
I mean, Green Dragon Alley, that feels like...
Nothing good in there.
It's like the dangerous
bit. They have such a great chippy, so we keep going there.
A guy with the bullseye. I can't tell what his, like, MO is yet.
I think he's just freaking people out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he seems like to just be sort of terrorizing people.
Yeah. Mm.
He just wants to be in the theater. He just feels like a theater guy.
Oh, so the worst thing possible. Maybe he like just does a monologue from his one-man show.
Yeah, right. Does he do short-form improv?
Okay. What he does...
Can I get a suggestion?
He spurted a quantity of blue flame in her face, which deprived her of her sight and also alarmed her, that she instantly dropped to the ground and was seized with violent fits, which continued for several hours. Her brother heard the commotion and came running to help. She was with her younger sister, but she was in front of her younger sister, so she got the blast of whatever gas or anything mm-hmm. this was. So the sister described the attacker as tall, thin, a gentlemanly appearance, covered in a large cloak. And he didn't...
Gentlemanly being a...
Yeah, very broad.
Yes. Term.
It did not speak, and he didn't try and lay hands on them, but he walked quickly away.
What is this blue flame?
Is he doing that thing where, like, you know when guys light their farts on fire? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is there something going on here where there's, like, a practical effect yeah. element?
See, that's what I started
yeah,
thinking
like
as well.
Yeah, like, he's, what's it called?
He's an early Blaine.
He's got some equipment of some kind.
Well, yeah, they inhale without letting it in their lungs, and they blow, like, flame... What the fuck?
Oh, fire breathing.
Fire breathers, mm-hmm. thank you. Like, it feels like he's fire breathing,
and if it's
but maybe...
blue,
the...
that's like a gas thing, right?
Yeah. yeah.
So like, that got in her eye.
Methane or... or, like, also... It's slightly unclear and muddled because it's either blue, like it could be some kind of not laughing gas, but it could be some kind of other gas that causes seizures, or it could be
because she had flame. An effect on it, didn't she? Like, yeah, it had an effect on her.
They might just be really freaked out though. Like, I feel like it must have been a lot yeah. scarier to live in a time where you really thought maybe a demon would be around,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, where you really believed in God and you really believed in the supernatural, mm. and it was like. Possible, like, okay, so I went to a summer program at a British university. It was one of the really old, pretty ones. And I got to my I got to my dorm thing, and I pushed open this, like, creaky old door. And I, like, walked through all these cobblestones to get there. And when I pushed the door open and started, like, took the first step onto the stairs, yeah. the lights, like, flickered.
Okay.
And for, like, less than a full second, I was like, is it happening? Maybe this is it. And I knew it wasn't, but, like, yeah. for just the little fraction of a second, I was like, and that those people back then yeah. were living like that all the time.
Yeah, this yeah, is very, yeah. That's very a really true. Good point.
This is very true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, in defense of lighting your farts on fire, my brother did it at Christmas, and it genuinely just brought the whole family together. It was like, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
It was just really, it was lovely.
He didn't set
How old
jeans
is he?
On fire or anything?
He didn't. He's oh, he was 30 last week.
That is happy yeah. birthday. It's great.
You want, yeah, that's how he lit the candles on his cake. No. But it can be a lot of fun.
Is that why he asked for a candle? Is he like, I forgot my...
Yeah, oh, like he...
I forgot my flame source. I have the gas ready to go.
I don't know, because he still did have... Yeah, it's either a distraction or it could be he needed it. That's a good point, actually. Right. Mm. I like how you're all thinking. You're very good detectives. That's what they say in the real police force as well.
Guys, yay.
I'm going to buy the good donuts for the break room. Right. There are also some accounts of Spring Hill Jack dressing in furs to appear like a bear. The most famous bear sighting is when he apparently growled at a gardener, climbed the garden wall and chased the gardener on all fours until he finally decided to leave. But I honestly feel like that guy was just chased by a dog. so he doesn't
point.
Want to admit that he was scared because of toxic
it was
Victorian
Jack,
masculinity.
Jack.
Yeah,
I couldn't perform last night. It was Jack.
Exactly.
Jack interrupted.
I wouldn't be scared of a dog. It was a Spring Hill Jack.
This happens a lot with the older cases too, where there's a like a paranormal element that it just takes over the area and everybody, it's all anybody's thinking about.
Yeah, it's on everybody's minds big time.
So now up until this point, none of the attacks were really being taken seriously. Question, why?
Women?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Of course.
It's only happening to women. And you can't believe those hysterical, messy bitches. They'll say anything to get the vote. So,
they'll say anything to get that's another t-shirt. Of
I do wonder though sometimes, because back in the day, if you were diagnosed with hysteria, your doctor just vibrated you until you came on the place. And I'm like, maybe women were like, oh, this crazy shit's happening. Take me back to the doctor, please.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I have not stopped masturbating since coronavirus came in. I don't know about anyone else. It's constant. Anyway.
That's a really good point, because the likelihood that that's happening at home with your probably not so loving, attentive husband.
Yeah, well, that owns you, that you have no legal recourse over.
Yeah.
I gotta go back.
I'm gonna go back to that nice man in the white coat. Anyway, so no one's really writing about it.
They're not writing about it.
No, it's not. Why? It's all kind of more gossip and word of mouth and servants telling each other to be careful rather than...
Have these all been servants, by the way?
They've either been women, so it doesn't matter, they've got no status, or people that are working late
and they have to get home and they
it's definitely like more of a working class community, and they're all quite upset about it, but it's not breaking through into the upper echelons that have the power to write about it. But finally, the Times decided to do a story on Spring Hill Jack, and it's because of these two girls, so it's kind of finally broken through.
The sisters.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of them's blind.
I guess we'll cover it.
Or it could have just hit like kind of the critical mass of like, okay, 100 women. Like,
it's like Cosby. It's like literally, you had to get, or like, Weinstein or whatever. Like, you have to get to 90 to 100
same
women.
Same voice as one man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now they start investigating it. But basically, the story comes out. So we finally have a potential perp. But I should probably mention as well that apart from like people that have to get home, working people have to scared late at night and stuff, Spring, when it has been, if it has ever come up in the press or anything like that, it's been kind of treated as a bit of a joke. So if it's been written about at all, it's been described as sort of pranks and very much covered in kind of
skies,
like workplace banter.
Locker room stuff. Very kind of Benny Hill chase scene type way.
God.
So even though there actually have been reports of women dying and fainting and having fits they don't recover from, the vibe was, it's all cool, bro. It's like,
wow,
they were probably about to die anyway.
The thing about Benny Hill is that it's kind of like funny because of the music, but this was pre-Benny Hill. It's just a lot of people being chased.
Play it on silent.
Yeah.
Different story.
It's sinister as fuck.
Play what's it? The Valkyrie. Anyway, I don't know things. Right.
The Valkyries.
The Rise of Valkyries.
Yes, that is what I was trying to say.
Katie losing confidence halfway through a sentence is like, you're... I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love it, but like, you know, you're brilliant. Carry on.
Thank you. So, also, I wonder if that kind of the Benny Hill approach had actually affected our new suspect's judgment. Because suddenly the Times is taking it all seriously and going like, oh my God, guys, not all women are bitches, actually. Like, some of them, like, are not thirsty bitches, and it's actually not cool if they get attacked. That is verbatim what the Times said.
I love Middle English.
And I have really good enunciation.
That was like, it's like Chaucer.
So suddenly it's like an even bigger story. Everyone's talking about it. And then on the heels of this article, one Thomas Milbank walks into a pub called the Morgan's Arms, and he's all, oh my God, have you seen the paper? That's me. I did that. I attacked Jane Alsop. Am I a legend or what?
Wow.
I'm Spring Hill Jack. So he's boasting to everyone in the pub that he is Spring Hill Jack.
And the first thing you say is, fine, jump over this fence.
Right? We'll see about that.
Right? Excellent. And I hope that that did happen. But my question is, was he arrested?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like people probably said shit like that all the time. Like when Jack the Ripper was happening, I reckon people were just like...
I mean, is arrested like they fully charge you, or they just take you into the station? Because they might take him in.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I meant just take him in.
Okay.
Maybe. If the media is on it
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Well, Monica, you are correct.
Okay. Oh, who was the grass?
The thing is, the tide has just turned on this guy.
Right.
Right. And he didn't see that coming, I think.
It's like Dapper Laughs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I snorted.
There's always a backlash.
But he gets arrested and then tried at Lambeth Street Court. Now Milbank had been wearing white overalls and a great coat.
And a
just
great.
Beautiful.
Man.
I don't know if that was meant to say great.
If you look no, past
it, it was great big. Was a thing.
Was it? A great coat. Okay. You guys. I'm wearing my
that
great
was
coat.
The one with like the kind of shawl element, yeah. Like a Sherlock Holmesy vibe.
Oh. Right.
Okay.
Oh, I might bring a great coat back.
I kind of like great coats. There's a lot of that stuff that I like, but that's a different moment.
So he was wearing his great coat. Mm-hmm. No, wait. He had been wearing white overalls and a great coat, which he dropped outside the house, and the candles that he dropped was also found.
Oh, was this from the woman before?
Well, specifically, this is Jane Allsop, which is specifically who he boasted, but he also said he was Spring Hill Jack.
Okay.
So was he convicted?
Oh.
Sounds like there was a little bit of evidence there, but they didn't have fingerprinting at that point. I think
they did not,
because we had an episode on that, didn't
that
we?
That is correct. That was
so
legal.
How can you be like, unless he engraves his candles with like Tom's candles, I think.
But he's confessed, like he's come in and...
But there are a lot of women who have seen this person's face. So if you can't get any of the women who have been up close to this guy to identify him, then you can't.
He sometimes wore a mask or a helmet and stuff.
Oh, right, the helmet.
But so are you guys going yes or no to conviction?
I don't think he was.
So no from Taylor?
I think some other kind of evidence comes into play, but I'm
okay.
not sure. Perhaps it's
interesting.
That. No.
I feel like maybe he was, but then there was
okay.
a twist.
Okay.
And also, I just feel like you can't just confess to something and then get... Because like, actually, it takes quite a lot to convict someone.
Yeah.
You have to be beyond reasonable doubt. Like, I did jury duty, guys. And the thing is, if someone just says they did it, I almost don't think that's enough. You have to also be able to prove it. So,
okay.
But... this wasn't in the 18th century.
Good instincts, detectives. He was not convicted. Question, why was he not convicted?
Well,
similar to something Taylor said a moment ago when we were talking about him boasting.
Did he retract what he said? Did he go
because
like...
a bunch of people were doing that.
No.
Oh. We do get that quite a lot though, don't we? Where loads of people admit to a crime.
Yeah. Like Spartacusing it.
Before reality TV, they needed some drama.
he couldn't breathe fire.
Did they make him?
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, he escaped conviction because Jane Allsop insisted that her attacker had breathed fire, and he admitted that he could not do that.
But he could jump a fence.
Well, yeah, exactly. I
need to know about the jumping.
How they tested that, or
because that's much easier to.
Also, the way this is phrased is Milbank admitted he could do no such thing. Like, he was ashamed that he could.
Right.
Okay.
Given it the big I am.
All you need to do for fire breathing, isn't it just you take some petrol into your mouth?
Do you think you could do fire breathing?
I mean, let's do it now.
It's really hard to inhale without it going in. Like, can you smoke a cigar? Because I have trouble with that because I inhale.
I can't
smoke
anything.
I'm sorry, you have asthma.
I have pretty bad asthma. Yeah.
This is really...
I'd be fire breathing. It'd be pathetic. But like, also, like, are they looking for a fucking dragon? What are they looking for? Like,
well, I mean, it's a good question.
It was Green Dragon Lane. I don't know if anyone else
it's a dragon.
Noticed.
It was what?
It's a dragon. It's the last dragon. The story is called The Last Dragon.
Okay, hold that thought.
Forever.
Forever, yeah. Yeah. Shut
and then
up.
Put it down. And, yeah. So also, according to other sources, he almost definitely had attacked Jane Allsop. So I don't know how that quite worked out the way it did. But now,
Spring... Do you think she's an ancestor of Kirsty Allsop? We're all wondering.
I mean,
it
would be fun if she went on that Who Do You Think You Are show and it turned out that her great-great-grandma was sexually assaulted.
I mean, to be honest, I feel like a lot of people's great-grandmas were sexually assaulted.
That's
like,
true.
Not to bring down the vibe. But
yeah, no.
True. Back then,
yeah,
it's
and
pretty
it wasn't
safe
even
bet.
Illegal.
Hmm. It was more the jumping that was illegal.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So he isn't just London-based, although that was where his origin story started. This guy apparently travelled. He has prey in different area codes. All copycats. But then there were sightings all over the UK. So he eventually had investigations going on everywhere. In July of 1947, there was another arrest.
1847.
I'm so sorry,
1847. So, like, the war has gone on. Is he still doing this? He should be out there fighting for his
country.
Where
was he during the draft? That man can shoot fire out of his face.
He can jump over fucking walls. Actually, this guy would have killed Hitler first
never
day.
Never have taken Paris.
So he's in July 1847. There's another arrest. A man called Captain Finch gets arrested.
Ooh, Captain Finch. Now, I always regret it. I always get excited by someone's name and then I find out they're the worst person in the world.
Well, I like Captain Finch.
Ooh, tell us more about Captain Finch.
Question. Is he convicted?
Yes.
Correct.
Oh.
He is convicted.
Trying to be more decisive in 2020.
It's really working for you.
This is paying off.
He was convicted of assaulting two women while wearing a skin coat which looked like a bullock's hide, a skull cap, horns, and a mask.
I only understand like 2/3 of that.
Leather coat.
Yeah.
Skin coat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Skin coat that looked like a cow's hide. You're describing a leather coat.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like Buffalo Bill.
I agree. My
or
sources
was
are.
It? That's still, I mean, that still sounds horrible.
Still wouldn't like it.
No. Yeah.
Mm. Impressive that all these convictions are happening, though.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. With a lot of fashion description.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay, so he's arrested and in prison. Question, do the sightings/assaults of Spring Heeled Jack stop now or continue anyway?
Uh-oh.
For sure continue.
Correct.
So it's not Captain Jack. What was his name?
No,
Captain
Finch. Captain Finch. Mm-hmm. So there was actually, and this is, I think, the real meat of this. There was a rumor that, because everyone's like a suspect basically now, mm-hmm. and you know, multiple perps possibly, but there was a rumor that the Marquis of Waterford was Spring-Heeled Jack because, and I quote my source, he had, hang on, I want to say it's exactly right, he had had bad experiences with women and police officers.
It must be him. It's got to be him.
It's a really weird euphemism that, like, I mean, I actually think it was him. He was known to do anything for a bet and had acquired the nickname the Mad Marquis.
Mm. Which is Marky Mark.
Marky
would have been
Mark.
A better.
Yeah, rich, crazy guy. Very bad sign.
Yes. Now, this also ties in with something else that was suggested. At one point, this is going back to when it went from the servants' worries to the more mainstream or elite or whatever newspapers. At one point, the Lord Mayor accused a group of young aristocrats of being responsible for Spring-Heeled Jack after they made an irresponsible wager with a companion to dress as a bear, a ghost, and the devil himself. So
it's a Friday night.
It's a Friday night at Eton.
Yeah, it's like basically the Bullingdon Club.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, let's burn money in front of a homeless person and then attack a woman. So there was this, basically there was a session held in the Mansion House where the mayor had received an anonymous complaint which he had withheld in the hope of obtaining further information. And so basically someone in the community writes a letter that gets read out in the local thing that the mayor has to deal with. I don't know.
Okay.
So the letter said, so this is a letter from a resident of Peckham who is concerned about this. He says, it appears that some individuals of, as the writer believes, the highest ranks of life have laid a wager with a mischievous and foolhardy companion that he durst not take upon himself the task of visiting many of the villages near London in three different disguises, a ghost, a bear, and a devil, and moreover that he will not enter a gentleman's gardens for the purpose of alarming the inmates of the house. The wager has, however, been accepted, and the unmanly villain has to succeed in depriving seven ladies of their senses, the unmanly villain has succeeded in depriving seven ladies of their senses, two of whom are not likely to recover, but to become burdens on their families.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Editorializing a bit.
At one house, the man rang the bell, and on the servant coming to open the door, this worse than brute, stood no less dreadful figure than a spectre clad most perfectly. The consequence was that the poor girl immediately swooned and has never from that moment been in her senses. The affair has now been going on for some time, and strange to say, the papers are still silent on the subject. The writer has reason to believe that they have the whole history at their finger ends, but through interested motives are induced to remain silent. So basically, they're not reporting it because it's the rich cunts that are doing it.
Wow. He blows the whole thing open.
Yeah, well, just people are upset. You know, it's finally getting to the point where they're going to the mayor with this, going, stop protecting your rich friends and save everybody. But the Lord Mayor was skeptical.
We should bring back finger ends, just as a side note.
I genuinely thought you were going to say fingering, and I was like, okay.
Back, baby.
It never left.
Any new music starts?
So the mayor is sceptical, but a member of the audience confirmed that servant girls in Kensington, Hammersmith and Ealing tell dreadful stories of this ghost or devil, and then the matter was reported in the Times. Then the Lord Mayor showed a crowd gathering a pile of letters from various places in London complaining of similar wicked pranks, and the quantity of the letters that poured into the Mansion House, because then once they're talking about it, then everyone's going, yeah, that happened to me as well. So the stories were widespread in suburban London. So the mayor is very sceptical, but he trusts some of his sources.
Privileged white men?
White men. Okay. And so rewards were offered at stuff. But weirdly, the more Spring-Heeled Jack's fame grew, the less frequently the reports about him were made, until 1843, when a new wave of sightings swept the country, and that's when the attacks on carriage drivers became much more common. So I wonder if it's like a new gang making use of the story?
It feels a little bit like, right now I'm kind of thinking Spring-Heeled Jack started with one guy. Then kind of, it's like, do you remember that thing? Oh my God, like 2 or 3 years ago where clowns would remember that?
It was so unpleasant.
I know.
It's menacing unpleasant. Around.
Yeah. And it just feels like it was just a bunch of people that were like, oh, well, that would be fun to do. Why don't we do that all around the country?
Yeah. Or like, you've been tangoed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Imitation crimes are super common, right?
Yeah. Copycats, man. Yeah.
So one of the most notable Spring-Heeled Jack sightings came in August of 1877.
I mean, 40 years have passed now.
Uh-huh.
So actually, you were right when you said 1870. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
But the first attack wasn't in
1870. Right, no. Anyway, 40 years. God, what a time to be alive.
So this happened from a group of soldiers in Aldershot barracks. A sentry noticed a strange figure in the darkness who ended up slapping him in the face. question, when the guard shot at this figure, what happened?
Gotta be some classic smoke face, right?
Yeah, blue fire.
Fire face, crazy eyes, or he ran away?
I'm gonna take it because that's kind of it, but like, there was no visible effect, and then the figure disappeared into the darkness with long leaps.
That's really generous of you to take
it. But it's like, it didn't get him and he escaped.
Okay.
Yeah, which is if someone's shooting directly at you,
yeah, it should have.
And also, it was at an army barracks. You'd expect, wasn't it?
They should be a better shot than that, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. But he's a trained shooter. Mm. So there are loads of stories like that with the creature surviving shootings.
Mm. The long leaps as well. There's something very camp about it. Like, and I'm away. It's quite nice.
It's because we did a story about a ghost that actually did get shot.
Yeah.
But this one did not. Mm. So there are loads of lots of other ghost stories get linked to Spring Hill Jack. So in the 1870s, the Peckham ghost was reported by multiple witnesses. There was also a park ghost in Sheffield.
Peckham ghost just doesn't sound as good, does it?
And locals believed was actually Spring Hill Jack. So question, when is the last reported sighting of Spring Hill Jack?
God, I hope they get over it by like the 1900s. Like there's other stuff going on, guys.
Okay, so what's your guess?
1901.
Okay.
Oh, I like the idea it was actually Queen Victoria this whole time.
She was in the Bullingdon Club.
Wow. Yeah.
She's posh enough.
I want more.
I feel like he's like kind of like a werewolf now. Like I feel like it might still happen once in a while somewhere very remote.
Okay. Ooh. So you think it's still, there hasn't been a last
sighting? Like, you know, people are like, oh, I've seen a Yeti and stuff.
Okay,
like a big sort of like entering mythic territory.
Okay. Ah. There's a whole family of Spring Hill Jacks. They keep reproducing.
Or 1920.
Okay, so we've got 1920, 1901.
It just sounds like a breed of deer every time you say it.
Yeah, I think like something like, if it was something like 1950, that would, obviously it would mean that it wasn't the same person because it started like
30
without, so, you know, not in someone's lifetime.
Yeah.
And I reckon it should carry on so we can prove that it actually was a couple of people.
Okay, so what's your guess?
1950.
Okay.
I like that it takes you 100 and almost 20 years. I think they're probably dead.
Taylor has it. It was 1904.
long time then.
And it was in Liverpool.
Liverpool.
And as the first sighting occurred,
was that right?
In, it's like I'm there. you're right.
Could we edit?
I'd like to request we keep it in. Thank you.
The first sighting had happened in 1837, which means that this creature lurked for 67 years or had copycats. Or like he'd be doing really frail assaults towards the end, just like mainly telling kids to get off his lawn and stuff.
Just a really shitty fire breather.
Yeah.
There are street performers like this though, where you're like, maybe
time to retire. So question, has anyone ever been caught and identified as Spring Hill Jack for definite?
Feels like a, it feels like he's a fantasy, doesn't it? Yeah.
Any advance on that?
No, I agree.
Mm-mm. Okay. Good instincts. No, they have not. People have been convicted of assaults in fancy dress costumes, but not of actually being provably him.
Could you imagine going to going to a fancy dress party now? I'm Spring Hill Jack.
I bet it's happened, though. Because he's really famous. Rich told me to do this case.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Okay. Kind of. I mean, he did.
Wait, is it Rich? This is her husband.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's him.
Because he was alive.
I mean, he's pretty
during
old.
The first sighting.
Hey! Man.
He's like old.
He's 13 years older than me.
He's only like 4 years older than me, though. Like, that is the saddest dig I've ever made.
He also listens to this, so I'm sorry, Richard. I really respect Richard. You.
So some people believe the Spring Hill Jack was just a man with copycats following in his footsteps, and they believe that the details of him leaping and breathing fire are a result of gossip, superstition and sensationalist news stories. I have my own theory, which I shall share, but first I want to see if you guys have any theories. And you can have theories that have already been said if you want.
Well, it's a little bit like, I can't think of a good example of when there's a rumour about a celebrity that goes round, like, and it literally goes round the entire world. And you're like, I can't think of an example or one that we can really say without being
like
libelous.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio having sex with the earbuds in.
Go on!
Apparently Leonardo DiCaprio just like gets women back to his place, and then when he has sex with them, he's got earbuds, headphones in.
Like, what's he listening to?
Titanic theme song, you have to assume.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh, wow.
That's a famous one.
I've never heard that one, but I'm excited.
I'm not showbiz enough to know.
I've heard it secondhand from two much more beautiful women than me, so it seems right.
I'm going to start doing that. It's a great idea.
The wires just always get in the way at the moment.
How can you catch up with all these podcasts and still have a sex life? Well, combine them.
But what was happening? Is that the question?
Yeah, like, do you think he was a demon? Do you think he was a man? Do you think it was a gang?
I'm, like, leaning away from demon.
Okay.
Probably. I think there's a lot of things happening, though, for women of that time period, which is no one cares what they do or say.
Yeah.
As long as they're obedient. They're also wearing, like, really restrictive garments all the time and not eating very much. So, and not eating very nutritive foods.
Mm. Okay.
So they're, like, malnourished, squeezed around the middle constantly, really believe in like a supernatural version of heaven, have like a very real relationship to like the occult.
Yeah.
And are kind of low level, just like gaslit by everything around them in life.
Yeah.
So I would have to assume that most women from that period were like a bit cuckoo. You know what I mean? Like all those circumstances are conspiring to make you just a bit like, oh,
okay. Yeah, your body's waiting to faint.
You'd almost want a supernatural reason for why your life was like this.
Literally, if I think I have it was like, easy to get exaggerated.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
If I get like a stone in my shoe, I'm like, oh, the world is crazy. Like, I can't deal with it. So
this is nuts.
This is the stone in your shoe of the early 1800s.
Yeah, like no wonder they were losing
it's
their shit.
It's definitely a few different people.
Okay.
What caused the first person to do that and how long it went, I don't know.
Yeah.
It feels like somebody that was doing a bit of like circus tricks. I don't think it's just what
so
they would have written
elements.
Off as like, I think he must have been doing, like he must have been wearing metal gloves or something.
This guy sounds like a steampunk fuck for sure.
That should be the name of the episode, steampunk funk. Fuck. I can't even say fuck.
Absolutely.
Fuck.
Well, steampunk
I
it's hard to say. Steampunk pop.
Did you have a theory?
My theory was backed up by the Leonardo DiCaprio story.
Okay. See, I think he invented pogo stick shoes.
I did wonder if there was like a mechanism.
Yeah.
A mechanism.
Well, see, I feel like he's got to. Okay, I'll list you my theories. I got slightly too into this case. Theory number one, bent copper. Because there's a few cases where it keeps linking to the police. One time he impersonated a police officer. Another time he had the same type of lamp that the police officers have. Because that one of those women thought that it was a police officer at first.
Yeah.
So I think it could be an inside job or a cover-up.
Interesting.
Theory number two, science guy or someone with access to scientific discoveries, like you were saying about the gloves and everything, like metal gloves. He's got some kind of tech. And he would, like, this discoveries of things like, you know, gas that can knock people out or that can produce a blue flame. Like, we all use Bunsen
burners
at school.
They've been fire breathing for so long. Like, that's one of the oldest circus tricks. And it wouldn't take much to get that in your eye. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all...
Also, it would be really stressful still now.
You know what I mean?
Like, it would be
that's
horrible.
That's a good idea if you want to freak someone out.
Yeah. Completely. If you're not expecting it.
Oh, so the new clown phase.
Propane.
So fun.
Butane. And then the mask could be like a disguise, or it could also be part of the tech. Like it could be a gas mask that's protecting him from his own stuff, or like phosphorus. I don't know. But
you're
I believe
just saying elements now.
I've heard of
phosphorus. True.
Phosphorus, right? Mm-hmm. Checks out. But I believe would believe more science over like a demon, you know. And then my third theory is the Bullingdon Club, like the Mad Marquee one. So I just think it's like entitled people beating up servants and stuff.
It feels a little bit like people trying to have a laugh at someone else's expense.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Particularly women as well. And they're like, let's just freak out some
it's
women.
Quite
again,
it's bullying. It's quite a nasty. Yeah. Kind of something very middle school about that kind of dare as well.
Also, they aren't actually, from what I understand in the stories, not actually violating anyone. They're just weirdly ripping their clothes off.
Yeah.
Which is very sort of like juvenile crime. Like,
yeah, it's just under a line of like very, very serious. Like there's still, there was claw marks on them and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great.
It's still technically sexual assault.
But that's the thing is, it's like, if somebody dies because you... can you frighten someone to death?
You can if they're being constricted by a corset all the time. And they
never
eat nutritive food. Right. And everything about their society is really bad. And all the other stuff I said before, allowing myself to be a true nerd.
But no, that's... yeah, it is very true. And if they're like, well, I want to murder some people, but I don't want to get caught for it.
Yeah.
Freak them out enough.
But they also didn't seem to want to murder anyone. They seemed to want to... fuck people up.
Yeah. That's true. The malice, the intent isn't like so serious.
Like Jack the Ripper was cutting off people's eyelids and like arranging them around their head and stuff. It was like true, like masochistic, psychotic, violent shit. And this is also violent in its own way, but it's not as...
it's very lighthearted compared to that.
Compared to that, it is. Yeah. You know what most things are.
Yeah. It's true. So Spring-Heeled Jack became a legendary bogeyman, which was meant to scare children into behaving.
Of course.
Parents would claim Spring-Heeled Jack would...
This is what I'm saying about the werewolf thing.
Yeah. God. It would leap up to peer into their bedroom at night if they were naughty, which is very...
Imagine that's like right now saying to your grandma, like, Shipman will be here. Unless you, yeah. I realize that's a very
And especially
UK
when
reference.
You think about, like, therapy hadn't even been invented. Who is going to help those children?
Everybody that, like, criticizes modern parents, like, you're so indulgent. I'm like, yeah. Well, can we explore what the alternatives were? Kids used to listen.
I feel like thinking about our parents, like, our parents' parents were raised by Victorians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. That is weird.
We're not that far.
It makes me want to be like, anything my parents got up to is fine.
So Spring-Heeled Jack popped up all over Britain, especially the London suburbs, but Midlands and Scotland. He was written about in many newspapers, and he went on to appear as the subject of Penny Dreadfuls, plays, and Punch and Judy shows.
Oh,
wow.
Bit of culture. It's lovely, isn't it? to Spring-Heeled Jack. Hey! The nice psychopath. Hey!
Drunk women solving crime.
Okay, so this is a crime from one of our listeners, from one of our live shows. They wrote it on a piece of paper.
Thanks.
So, dear drunk women, one Friday night I came home and went about normally making dinner. 1 hour later, I slowly realized that the PlayStation and laptop was gone. I went into my bedroom and an extra pair of pajamas was there. In the bedroom, I noticed a pair of dentures.
What?
I am not sure.
Spring-Heeled Jack.
Yeah.
He got really old.
His dentures. Well, okay. Well, then we solved it.
Oh, wait, is that where the story ends?
The whole thing?
That's where it ends.
Ah, you can't just write that. But is like, that for real?
I don't know. I feel like this is a could
that
be
feels
a joke.
Made.
This is honestly like. I went through a really big breakup a couple years ago, and I was able during it, like, I didn't care about anything. I was so sad. But what it gave me was a superpower of being able to watch very scary crime shows, which I normally found too scary because I used to watch some of them, like, maybe someone will come in and kill me. And then I was like, maybe someone will come in and kill me. Perfect.
Loved it.
But I watched Luther during that time.
Yeah.
And Luther's like designed for women's nightmares only.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's a great description.
There's a man.
That's on the poster, isn't it?
Breaks into people's houses, puts on some of their makeup from their house, then lies under their bed and waits till they come out to go to sleep. So you see the man get under the bed. Then, like, time passes and you see her come home, take off her, like, clothes and shoes and stuff, get into pajamas and get into bed, and then you just see him come out. And you don't even need to know. I mean, you obviously know what's about to happen. But, like, this feels like one of those. Yeah. This is an urban legend designed to freak ladies out.
Yeah. It's like an embellished...
Old gamer.
The pajamas weren't theirs or anything.
Yeah, so it's pajamas that weren't there. There was an extra pair of pajamas.
And dentures.
And they stole their laptop and their PlayStation.
Yeah.
This is weird.
So it's like, is it a burglar who's a bit of a prankster that wants to freak people out and be like, okay,
it feels like a grandparent is staying.
It does as well.
And then there's a separate burglar. Like, these don't feel connected.
It's pretty nuts to bring dentures. I mean, dentures are also not cheap.
No.
They're not. Why are you
even on the
those?
NHS? Do you get dental stuff on the NHS?
No, you do if you're under 18 and in full-time education.
You need dentures if you're under 18.
Yeah.
Also, actually, like, I think
really bad hockey game.
Once you're elderly as well, though, I think you get... I always remember my granddad, he used to do a thing where he'd like... You'd look away from him. When you look back, he'd have his dentures out of the front of his mouth and you'd just go, bleh. It was genuinely the funniest thing I've ever
seen
in my life.
Uncle Gene does that.
He still does it.
Pops him right out.
But they always do it just in your peripheral vision. So you're never quite sure. And as a kid, you don't know that that's a thing that happens, that people can spit their teeth. So I was constantly trying to get my teeth out. I thought it was a thing you could do.
Wow. So I think this, I like this theory of this double two events happening at once. So maybe a grandparent is staying.
They forgot that the grandparent didn't add that part.
But maybe the grandparent got the rooms mixed up. They're so old, they need dentures. They go, I'll put my pajamas on the bed I'm sleeping in at my grandson's house. Mm-hmm. I'll put my dentures there ready. And then
maybe it's weird how sometimes these things get connected. So there's this like puerile prankster in our previous story that's genuinely terrorizing people. Yeah. So someone genuinely stole, but then they're also a fuckhead who's like also what's creepy, pajamas and dentures.
And maybe they're not.
Maybe they're fake dentures.
Maybe they're not their dentures. Maybe they've stolen them from somewhere
else. Maybe they're just wind up chattery teeth.
Yeah, I have like 20 follow-up questions for this.
Yeah! Sure. I know!
The other story when you guys asked if I'd ever been the victim of a crime was that when I was 16, someone broke into my house while we were all asleep upstairs.
Ooh.
And it's definitely my fault. Basically, it was my 16th birthday and my twin sister as well. We just gotten first generation iPads, iPods.
Oh, yes.
iPads. I'm fucking from 1995. But we got iPods and we were really excited. And I was going upstairs and I saw the back window was open like a teeny little crack in our backyard, which had a gate and stuff. Okay. And I was like, I should close that, but whatever. Anyway, a man fully broke into our home.
Oh, wow.
Rooted around all of our stuff. Our dog was downstairs, absolutely nothing.
Oh, no. It could be someone you know if your dog didn't
bark. We found him. So he Tweaked. This is a better story than the gay clubbing night, but
no, they're all pretty good.
So someone broke into our house, our dog was downstairs, he stole my sister's iPad but not iPod but not mine because mine was charging upstairs in my room.
I know, you slept with it on your birthday.
I was so excited because I wanted to show it to boys. And I was like, music means nothing to me, but kissing is very important. But he like really rifled through all of our our main floor of our house. So he famously, in my family lore, took only my mother's CDs and not my father's.
Oh, no!
And she's proud of that to this day.
What did she like and what did he like?
She liked, modern pop, and he liked, Edith Piaf. Still does. Loves Edith Piaf.
Okay.
I love a robbery.
And related,
like
Chet Baker. You know, it's very, if you want to smoke in the bath, take my dad's CDs with you. But he also left a big shit in our toilet, was why I feel like this is related. And then I was telling this story to my boyfriend that I might tell this on this, and he said that apparently it's really common for people to take a big shit in the toilet.
Yeah, wow. I've heard of that before.
In the drill robbery? Because what, the nerves, like a pre-show poo?
Yeah. I think it's partly that. If I empty the bowels.
Oh, burglar's
thing.
IBS. I never thought about that.
But also,
you can't flush, right?
But it's, suppose you can't flush because of the noise. Yeah. I thought it was a kind of a fuck you have that as well.
Right, that's just pure DNA
genetic
information.
Evidence. Yeah,
but
yeah.
The thing is, nobody, no disrespect to your iPod, but for an iPod, I'm not sure they're going to do get a CSI there. That's
and
what they.
Some Celine Dion CDs.
And to be fair, you say that they found him.
Yeah, so he stole all of our backpacks and stuff as well. And then he went along, he hit a bunch of houses on our street. And then went along discarding stuff he didn't want. So I got my homework back, which is really annoying. But I didn't get my prized possession, which was a wallet I had made out of duct tape.
Oh no!
But it had $5 in it, so I had to go. He had to keep it. But unfortunately, and this is the part, I think this is why I didn't want to tell it in the first place, but I'm drunk now, so he'd done it. But he left, when he was discarding stuff, he also discarded his own welfare slip with his full name on it.
Wow!
So again, it comes back around to me being people who own things that are insured.
Right.
And then someone who is in a place where they're desperate enough to do that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, whatever, man, have my iPod. My sister just got another iPod.
Yeah.
You know?
Not his first choice to be doing that.
Yeah. So it was a real shame because they obviously caught him immediately. But my dad did get to go down to the station to see a police lineup, which didn't really make sense because we hadn't seen him.
Yeah.
Was he just like, I really want to do it.
Someone else had seen him, so they brought everyone down at the same time. But he was like, I don't know. These are just five guys.
Wow.
And
oh my God, yeah, just six toilets.
And then you have to sniff them all.
Nope.
Oh.
But yeah, I wonder if there is a prank element to crime in general, because crime is basically just
the same concept as a prank in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's breaking the rules.
It's a very grad student-y thing to be like, it's a subversion of societal expectations. It's a celebration of misrule.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, kind of.
It's carnival-esque.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, man. And no one heard anything, obviously.
No one heard anything at all.
To sleepy sleeps.
Everyone was asleep upstairs. Wow. Our dog didn't make a peep.
I can't believe your dog.
Useless dog.
Yeah.
Maggie, RIP, wonderful idiot. Oh, she was she was a beautiful idiot, yeah. Aww. Real fluffy dumbass.
God. That's crazy.
What are we pinning this on? Like like the real cops, we just have to pin it on anyone now.
Right.
Yeah.
Another copycat. Crime solved.
Yeah. We
Grandpa the Grandpa Gamer.
The Grandpa Gamer. Love
it. We solved it.
Yay. Ooh, we've never had a have another crime.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe just an old guy got stoned and forgot that all of that stuff happened.
He forgot he had no teeth.
He wrote in as well.
So we have just enough time now to talk a little bit about what Monica is up to. What are you up to? What do you want to plug?
Oh my God. Listen, I'm technically working on a second book, which means I'm spending all of my time on Twitter and Instagram. On both of those, I'm at Monica Heisey, and otherwise I'm just doing shows around London.
And what's the second book about?
It's like a funny novel.
Okay.
It's one of those novels where it's like, it's a novel. It's about the 31-year-old Canadian woman going through a divorce. So, you know, that classic funny topic.
No, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll laugh, we'll cry.
Yeah, that's the idea. For God's sake. It was actually really funny. So I'm doing shows around and I'm working on that and writing for places and
awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Cheers.
Thanks for having me.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter, on Facebook and Insta. We are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.